Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. We have monster of a moment getting in there and it's trying to get Wayne to get the right number. I'm thinking this is him. I hope it is. Wayne, have you got the number? Put that number into
different numbers, so
Wayne, good to hear from you. Here we are another week and we almost didn't make it tonight, but
I have faith in Gwen.
We almost became Here Be Monsters. But thank goodness at the last minute we were able to get in. So
good. It's all good.
I have to tell you, gentlemen, that putting in my ear jacks now, so we'll prey on that scope too. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I hear you perfectly.
Clear as a bell.
Good. I'm real glad to hear that. Now, Blog Talk is got a lot of bugs to it, And so we'll end that little whatever right there. And Wayne, in the future, that 323 is the number to call in for the show so that you're unconfused or anything. Save it and just put Blog Talk or something to it so you'll know the next time. That's the call-in number that we have. Please excuse my voice, my friends. I have been in and out of laryngitis, so I sound funny. And welcome to the roundtable discussion of who's going to dump on who next and what's the shutdown motion and emotion, and something that made me furious. We all get angry and we all get, and I know Jack, you can be like me, you will get furious about certain things.
Oh, I have at times, yeah.
I got very furious when I saw this news item of this young Catholic student that was wearing a maggot hat standing in the face of a elder on Native American Prayer Day out in front of Washington, out in front of the park there.
Yeah.
I got absolutely furious.
A little tiny bit of that, but I wasn't able to absorb much of it. What happened?
Thank you, Gwen.
He and a group of his compadres there stood around they basically stood around and got in the face of an elder. I'm looking for the information right now on this.
The Covington Diocese out of Kentucky.
Yeah, out of Kentucky.
I didn't know there were any Catholics in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Well,
but they were in D.C. for anti-abortion or pro-life. I'm doing air quotes here.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But
they get in this Indian, I guess thinking he's a Mexican, and basically they started screaming, build that wall, build that wall.
Oh, Christ.
No,
he was a Native American, not a Mexican.
They didn't think he was a Mexican. He was a Native American elder who had a drum, was followed by a whole clan of tribal elders were there and a lot of other demonstrators of the Native nations. And they gathered around this one man, Mr. Phillips, who is a Vietnam War vet and an elder in his tribe. And he just kept praying with the drum. And these I call them maggots.
Yeah.
The ones with the red hats on. And it just made me absolutely furious. And my fury has not calmed through the day.
And, you know, this was a pro-life march that they're attending, right? And if they're so pro-life and so life, period, they should be more cognizant of the rights of other people rather than trying to castigate everybody into a hellhole, you know, that of their own creation. It's insane.
Well, here's my question, and Gwen, maybe you know a little bit more about this, but where were the adults who were supposed to be supervising these kids?
Oh, how old were they? Were they teenagers or what?
They were seniors. They were juniors and seniors from a parochial school.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Really, what does a Catholic have to offer the community anymore? They've taken away most of their charity so they can pay their
their priest bills, their pedophile bills.
Pedophile suits. I have absolutely no respect for, no respect left. I mean, I respect certain members of the community. I know certain Jesuits, certain priests, certain nuns.
But the institution is in grave crisis of its own making.
Well, it has been for 2,000 years the seat of patriarchy on this planet. And the other part about that is, if not for the Catholic Church, we would not even have the term racism, because they started class structure on skin color. That was them, as well as what they've done to women, especially the old village healers that they called witch, put stones on, hung, burned at the stake, whatever you want to say. I mean, these guys, crusaders, you know.
Well, they've never
been
known as a tolerant group. Their intolerance has reared its ugly head many, many, many times. As a matter of fact, a majority of the times that they've even come into prominence, they've been very intolerant.
And the trouble with it is, too, that, I mean, I had the classic parochial school education until I was shipped off to prep school. And, I mean, I was there in the days when nuns were still rapping your ass with a ruler. I will say this. I met many light workers, what I would consider a healer, a good person, a person of spirit and of clarity. In the church, in the community, mostly of nuns. But I also had a lot of nemesis I came up upon in the church, too. My mother was a Catholic, and she gave me a Catholic education at 15. She said to me, you know, young lady, I've given you a spiritual education. Now it is up to you. And I was, well, thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
And she respected my spiritual expression in life and trusted me, and so did my godmother. And I myself am a godmother in the church to a young woman who is still my goddaughter, who I love deeply, and consider her that, because I made a binding promise. I don't hold any respect left for monotheistic religions. They're nothing but patriarchal tools to control the masses, to suborn women, and I'm just so furious, Jack. I'm so furious.
Well, you know, and I share your fury to a certain extent, and I want to illuminate a little bit of something here. I'll relate one story I had from my own experiences in a Catholic school. I went for 8 years. And in the eighth grade, you know, in those days, Minneapolis has always had a minority population, but it was always kind of confined to more of the inner city and certain parts of the inner city. And we had a in eighth grade, I remember my last year there, we had, for the first time ever, we had a black nun. And she wasn't a native of the area, but she was a very wonderful woman, and we put her through literal hell. We didn't know quite how to react. When we came into the class and saw her for the first time, I mean, you never saw such an outbreak of spitballs and paper airplanes and shit going on like you wouldn't believe. And she was very, she was very tolerant for a time, but it finally got to it became overwhelming for her, and she finally cracked down and sent some of us to the office and some of us to sit the rest of the hour in the bathroom and think about what we were doing. So she had her own way of dealing with it. And, you know, I didn't know this till years later. I kept in touch with her. She's a great lady. She left the sisterhood, and now she married and had children, but down in Oklahoma City. And she's still a flaming liberal, just like we are, and was back then, too. And this was in the days of LBJ and the Great Society and all the anti-poverty programs and stuff, you know. And so we shared that kinship, and I kept in touch with her over the years because she was so tolerant of our misbehavior. And it was just, and it wasn't because we were racist and hated blacks. We just didn't know how to deal with it. We were so young and dumb, and it was a new thing for us. We didn't know how to deal with it, so we reacted. It was probably a nervous, goofy behavior that everybody just misbehaved like mad. Until she finally wouldn't put up with it anymore. And so, long story short, we found out that she was in the convent there with a bunch of other nuns who were all of whom were white. Some were older. One in particular was kind of the mother superior, and she's a really old, cranky, absolute horrible woman, and very intolerant and very old fashioned and she made life literal hell in that convent for this black nun. She didn't like her at all. She didn't want her there. She couldn't stand her. And she actually caused her to leave the sisterhood the year later because she'd had enough of it, you know. And human beings can only take just so much. And she, you know, this lady, she understands racism, and she's been a victim of it. And she, unfortunately, was exposed to it as her, just fresh out of college in her first job as a teacher, you know, after leaving the – or after getting into the convent and trying to live her faith and that sort of thing. And we made life completely hell for her, and so did this old bitch of a mother superior. And I didn't learn that out. I didn't learn that till many years later. We had a little grade school class reunion. And she came. We were so delighted to see her, and we learned a lot from her that day.
Imagine.
It was pretty crazy. But at any rate, we saw firsthand a glimpse of the rottenness of that can be inherent in that institution, and especially when you give the wrong people the certain amount of power. And that old mother superior, she's undoubtedly dead by now, but at any rate, she made life literal hell for this young, innocent, naive, and wanting to succeed black nun. It was just a terrible situation, and we can only hope that the church has progressed since then. I've seen little areas of it. We have certain churches in the metropolitan area here now that are liberal Catholic churches. You know, we have one called St. Joan of Arc, and in the Our Father section of the church, the Mass, they say Our Mother. I mean, they're very liberal, and there are other ones around here too, but it's those are few and far between, though.
Jack, I remember in fourth grade, I think it was fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Our nuns were called Mother.
They were, okay.
Order. Her name was Mother, started with an I, Isabella or something. She was white, but she was from the Philippines. She was a sweet, sweet, young woman.
Yeah.
And she sat down with the troublemakers, which I was one, and another girl. And she explained, because I made a comment. I said, you know, why would you bother to wear all that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Crap, yeah.
She sat with us for well over an hour and explained to us what the calling is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I have to tell you, in my life, in my own life now, what I do, I align with that, with those words very much. I'm a healer. I'm a minister.
Yeah,
work,
she left a big impression on you, a good one.
Yeah, and the Mother Superior, who was really kind of a good, she was a good lady. If I'd met her as an adult, I probably, but as who I was then, she was my nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
She
when you're young, you don't know
any
better.
She paddled me. I spent more time on my knees on scrubbing convent floor than my mother paid.
Oh, my God.
But the thing is that there are the majority of people who go into service in the church or in a ministry go in with open heart and a good heart.
Yes.
It's men and women of power who seek nothing but power over others who have destroyed it. And it's seated in, and I'll say it again, patriarchy, and that's what it is.
Well, you'll find it not only in churches, you'll find it in politics, you'll find it in government, you'll find
it in
schools, you'll find it everywhere.
Teachers, what we're doing to our teachers right now, my mother used to have a saying. She'd say, well, until they pay my bills, they can kiss my ass at high noon in the village square. But here's the thing. But among that, she also would say, he needs to be hung in the village square at high noon type of thing, or run out of town on a rail.
Right.
That's exactly what needs to happen to these people. Now, we have to call them out. Guys like this Steve King who made such a racist comment. Guys like Mitch McConnell. I thought it was fabulous this week. Fabulous that AOC's running around with a couple of other of the new congresswomen going, "Where's Mitch?"
Yeah,
where's
I love it.
Where's Mitch?
That
was
wonderful.
Wonderful.
She's one to watch. She's incredible. I really have the highest amount of respect for her. I did a blog on her right after she got elected in a special election last summer. And I've been watching her ever since. She's a wonderful lady, and there's no holding her back, man. She speaks her mind. She's not offensive, but she gets right in their face where she belongs.
She's a smart cookie, and I'll lay you $20. She ends up becoming big pals with Nancy Pelosi, but we can only hope so, because Pelosi can teach her things enable her. And here's the other thing, besides the thing about the elder being disrespected, that I wanted to lay out, and I know that Wayne probably feels the same way too about this, and so do you. But I want to say I absolutely support, even though it breaks my heart, because it's even close to home, what this shutdown is doing to people financially.
Oh.
I respect and support Nancy Pelosi and Milton Schumer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not to cave into this, because they know better. She knows. Just psychologically speaking, if they give in to him in any way, the son of a bitch puts on the table that, you can have 3 years worth of your dreamers back. That just isn't good enough. That's terrible.
We had none. It was already a done deal. That's what he took away. And I'll give you 3 years back. Screw you.
Yeah, I agree. Way to go, Wayne. I'm with you.
It's been every week that we come on, there's more that has happened. I mean, if it isn't the all of the corruption that has absolutely flushed through D.C. right now, the only thing that keeps Why would Mitch McConnell, why would these Republicans, knowing that the country is blaming them more every day, them, not the Democrats, every day for this. Did he think putting 3 years worth of DACA onto and TRP or whatever onto the platform was going to make the rest of the country say?
Well, I rather doubt that Mitch McConnell was even consulted. You know, Trump has a way of just being reckless and just he's a loose cannon. He just does shit without talking to anybody.
Why has he not brought a vote to the floor? Because if he brought a vote to the floor of the Senate right now,
right.
That's already been passed in the original bill. It's already been passed through the House with 11 Republicans signing on it.
Right.
Why
right.
would he? Why is he not bringing it to the floor of the Senate?
There's a reason I call him a constipated turtle. He has nothing to say. He's ineffectual. He doesn't have anything going for him. So he just sits in the weeds and thinks he can accomplish stuff that way. It's
That's
a futile move.
That's not how politics are played. There's
exactly.
something else. He's
beholden to a lot of moneyed interest too. He's a corrupt bastard himself. He's bad news.
Everyone know the answer? Follow the money.
Yeah, and his wife is a member of Trump's cabinet, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. Just follow the money.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Well,
I think he has two family members that have been appointed some jobs by him. But here's the other thing. In Louisville, in his hometown there of Louisville, there's two billboards up already that say Ditch Mitch.
I like it.
In the 2020 election, I don't think that these senators understand how badly Trump they're going to get. I mean, the Wicked Witch of the West could run against McConnell right now and win.
And win, yeah. And Rand Paul, he's laying in the weeds too. I don't think he's up for election in 2020, but maybe 2022. But that guy, he's a scoundrel. They're both scoundrels in their own way.
Yeah.
Karl Rove is telling Republicans in the Senate, so there won't be such a bloodbath. He says, do not placate to this extreme base that we have counted on in the past. They're going to be the death of us. That's basically what Karl Rove is saying. That's what he's telling.
Yes, I saw Karl Rove briefly doing that the other day. That was astounding. I about fell off my chair.
Karl Rove.
There's nobody more opportunistic than that bastard, and he knows his politics.
He does. He's the original rat fucker.
Yep.
He is. Him and what was his name? Who was that little guy, Ronald, in the Watergate thing that was just a more or less a college?
Oh, Ron Ziegler?
Ziegler, yeah.
He was a press secretary.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, and here we are. How many paces past the line of demarcation with Watergate and impeachment have we gone past?
Well, we
don't
learn, you know. Gwen, it's sad, but it's a sad fact. We just don't learn. I thought after Watergate we'd have a whole new era, and we did for a couple of years. That was about it. But we didn't learn a damn thing. We're still seeing the same kind of corruption, the same kind of scoundrels, the same kind of liars, the same kind of opportunistic bastards. You know, it's just we've just got to keep pushing ahead. And pushing forward, that's all we can do. But it seems to be almost an act of futility at times.
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I'm completely in support of the speaker. I think she's making the
Nancy
right
Nancy Pelosi,
call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do not think she's doing this out of ego or anything.
Yeah. I'm just saying, let me interject here.
Yeah,
Nancy Pelosi will be the person that will save our democracy in these next 2 years and
good
potentially
point.
From here on.
I think so.
Well,
counting on her. She's got to deliver. She will deliver.
Yeah.
And here's another thing I'm getting a little bit antsy and pissed off about is Mueller. when the hell is something going to get on the table? How far down the
well, it's
the
supposed to be next month, I guess, isn't it?
Well, no, they've already asked for more time, and
oh,
then they
yeah,
got
yeah.
this.
That's
they
right.
got this incredible in the pocket of the president Guy Barr getting,
yeah, right.
you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I have hope that within the year that somebody puts the handcuffs on that SOB and jackboot marches him out of the Oval Office along with every one of his cronies.
Yes.
Everyone.
Every one of them.
Sat down. Yeah. Every one of them who had sat down at that table with him. History, of course, will show who they were and what they did.
Oh,
but
yeah.
right
yeah.
now, justice. No. And no, no, no damn, no
pardons.
No pardons. My sister told me, coming on the show tonight, my sister told me that there's been a massive hacking of over a billion people that's just happened. A massive hacking, and the incompetence of what they have done to our intel community and what they've done to the FBI, and every monkey wrench that they have thrown has enabled this. And I not only hold responsibility on that incompetent whatever it is in the White House, but I also lay blame too at Obama for not putting this front and center. For not putting
yeah.
the hacking and everything, I'd say Obama has to answer for that in some way, too. He has to step up and say why.
Yeah, he's been strangely silent. He's been mildly critical, but that's not good enough. You know, Trump is doing Putin's bidding to the point where it's
oh, yeah.
you know, how far will he go? How far does he think he has to go to get that coveted hotel built in Moscow? This is insane. What a bastard, you know? And Putin's
well,
even worse.
It's not.
Are you guys familiar with Sun Tzu? Sun Tzu is the Art of War. It was a Chinese general, you know, thousands of years ago.
Uh-huh.
He had a small army going against a big army, but what he did was, he kept hitting them where they were the weakest, where he had the advantage.
Right.
And it's just continuation, and you know, of that constant nibbling away at the power. Well, that's exactly what Korea is doing with Kim Jong-un.
Oh, yeah.
And China.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're in for the long haul, and Trump has no clue.
Yeah.
Same thing with Putin. They're nibbling away at our power, our influence, and
right.
they've got this monkey chained there in the White House that's going to do their bidding and answering.
Yeah.
And another example is, oh, we're going to pull our troops out of Syria.
Yeah.
Well, and then we have this massive bombing because, oh, we've already won the war against ISIS.
Yeah, what a bunch of bullshit that was.
Just a bullshit lie.
Yep.
And all they did now was enable it because this Sun Tzu type of warfare, the Art of War,
mm-hmm.
already told them, we're giving up, we're weak, we've had enough,
yep.
and they know that if they strike, that now they're taking the advantage. They're hitting us where we are weak.
Yeah.
And our weak is in the mouth of our president.
It is. It's, you know, we've never seen anything quite like this in our lifetime, maybe in the history of the country, because this guy, he's a traitor. Let's face it. He is not a trader. He's a traitor. You know,
well,
let's face it. We have
what BuzzFeed put on the table this weekend, too. BuzzFeed came out with the news, and they're not taking it back.
Right.
This is why I'm a little upset with the Mueller report, the Mueller investigators, because they're saying it's not completely accurate. They're not saying it's a lie, but apparently it's throwing a monkey wrench into what they're working on. But that Michael Cohen is going to sit in front of cameras and the House and tell the American people that Trump told him to lie to Congress.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
that is impeachable.
That is impeachable.
Well,
you bet it is.
of justice, that is a federal crime.
Yep.
Yeah. So BuzzFeed is not pulling
back. I was in elementary school. Do you remember the Valachi papers?
Joe Valachi, famous mobster that spilled the beans on the Cosa Nostra. I remember that.
Exactly. This is going to be the same thing. I can remember coming home because they were televising it because he was testifying before Congress when I was in elementary school, early 60s. And Mom told me, she says, Wayne, to sit here, this is history in the making. You should probably pay attention to this. And now here we are 50-plus years later, right? And what we're getting ready to see with Cohen is exactly the same exposure and damage that Valachi did to the mafia, Cohen's going to do to the Trump mafia.
And, you know, it was only about a decade and a half later that the mafia, you know, basically went out of his existence. It was kicked out of Las Vegas, which it owned, Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Right.
And it was kicked out of Vegas. And it ceased to be a strong force anywhere now, not even in New York City.
Well, hey, and it was Mueller. I'm going to give Mueller...
He took down
Gotti
the
Gambino. Gotti was the Gambino family, and it was Mueller who brought him down.
I am on the air here, Bob.
I can hear you.
Jesus.
We've got a little lovely, but I can hear you.
Don't tell me your dog is a closet Trump fan.
No, I'm trying to keep the background noise down because I know even through the microphone on my headset you can hear it. But Mueller is completely capable. It's just so frustrating that we have to watch our institutions being ripped apart by corruption like this. And as it goes on, the Mueller investigation seems to backpedal, getting to a point where they're going to start, you know, when are they going to put some more subpoenas on the desk of the judge and say, you know, these guys need to get in front of a judge. These people need to be charged. They are charged with, and that would be the Trump family. And what they're doing is they're combing through, and the most ridiculous show in the whole thing is Giuliani. I mean,
he's disgusting. That guy has absolutely no integrity left in any molecule of his body. That guy is absolutely reprehensible from the word go. Piece of shit. What an ass-kisser to Trump. God almighty God. Where do these goons come from?
What gets me is they're sacrificing all any kind of semblance of morals and values.
Well, they have
to enabling Trump and his Kushner and Trump Jr. Right, this criminal aspect.
Yeah,
they are doing everything they can to run interference and keep enabling it, making them, as far as I'm concerned, even more guilty because they know what the hell Trump's done. They know he's committed treason. They know he's laundered Russian mob money to build his hotels and casinos and resorts. And yet they keep trying to make excuses and validation for him.
We're talking 30 years
higher
of Russian money laundering. I mean, even a kid like me knows these things are true. Of course, I've lived in New York and I've lived down here in South Florida, and I know, you know, what's gone down as far as and Trump is such a deadbeat. He never pays bills unless somebody takes him to. You know that he has actually not paid the utility bills at the White House for the last 6 months.
You know, that son of a bitch, he's sick in the head. He belongs in an institution. He's not right.
No, it's that he thinks he can get away with it.
Mental illness.
He thinks he can get away with it. And
right.
and down the street in that hotel of his, he's got people pouring money into it to gain favors with him. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of corruption that's going on right in front of our eyes.
I know, it blows you away.
So
I think the reason is you've got a huge number of very compliant Republicans that are blocking any avenue to do anything about it through their control of the Senate. That's why in 2020 there's going to be a big upheaval, and those bastards are going to be deservedly thrown out of office. And I can't wait.
So I have to ask you, candidate seem to be coming out now for
yes.
Democratic candidacy. And the one I'm most impressed with, I got two I like so far real well. I like Kamala Harris. I like how
she's
representing.
Girl, yeah.
I think she has some takes.
Elizabeth Warren.
I know she can do the job. I know she
right.
knows how to reorganize, restructure, and get our institutions back, which is real important.
Yes.
I don't know about, you know, the charisma thing or anything like that, but she might just surprise all of us.
She might.
Tulsi Gabbard.
She didn't impress me much today. I saw her on TV. She didn't do much for me.
She's anti-gay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their family
right.
business. The family
right.
business is conversion therapy. I find that despicable.
She claims to have changed her tune on that, but I just don't think she has what it takes to be president of the United States.
Absolutely not. I don't even think she has what it takes to be a senator, but whatever. Then there's this funky kind of a non-campaign going on with Beto O'Rourke, which is real weird. He's like taking a road trip to see what people think with, you know, camera and crew. Beginning to wonder what's going on with Beto.
Well, maybe he's doing kind of a Robert Kennedy thing. That could be, because he's been compared to him in a number of ways.
I've compared him to him.
A lot of people have, yeah.
He really knows how to take the stage, and he knows how to get your attention, and he's
right.
charismatic as hell. Is he honest? That's the other part of it.
I think he's honest. And I also think maybe he's grooming himself for a spot on the VP part of the ticket. That could be, too. He'd be
an excellent
vice president, president-in-waiting kind of guy. I would love it.
Nobody's heard anything out of Biden, and I'm beginning to think he's not going to run.
I'm starting to think so, too, yeah.
Well, I'm not real sad about it, but I would say that I'm glad he's around, because he would certainly serve well in a cabinet position. Then there's Julio, is it Gonzalez?
Castro. And his brother, he has a brother that's in there too, the twin brother, I think.
Yeah,
he's in the house.
I think he's probably a really fine legislator. I'm nonplussed by him. He has no spark as far as I can tell.
No, he's not the strongest of the candidates.
Yeah, and I think somebody like Trump would be able to make mincemeat out of him because he has about that. Whereas if he stood on a stage with Elizabeth Warren,
she'd mop up the floor with him.
I think the same of Kamala Harris. I think she would.
Now, she's sharp. Yeah, she wouldn't put up with his bullshit. She'd cut him down to size real quick. He wouldn't know what hit him.
I thought Hillary did real well on that. And everything she said in those debates about him has transpired. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Very, very true. You know, the thing about Hillary, it's still a mystery why she didn't win the election. And I think it's because so many people hate the Clintons. It's irrational, but it's a fact. They hate the Clintons.
There's
it's
a lot
sad,
of people
but it's
out
sad,
there.
Sad but true.
And most of the crap that they throw at it, saying why they hate them, is a bunch of bunk.
It's bullshit.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like right now the Breitbart side of Breitbart Fox side of the town is trying to drum up attention away from all of this by saying they should be having an investigation into that uranium 2 deal.
Oh,
on,
for Christ's sake!
They're gonna
dog her till the day she dies. It's just terrible. They hate her so bad, and they're so irrational, and they want vengeance against her. You'd think she was public enemy number one. It's insane.
So as far as it goes, I mean, in Minnesota, is Klobuchar gonna is she gonna run?
That's a good question. A lot of people are urging her to. I don't know that she's a very sharp lady too, but I don't know if she's sharp enough to take on Trump. I think on paper she could, but in personality she could. She's got a beautiful smile and a great outlook and stuff, but I just don't know. She isn't that well known nationally. That's the whole thing.
Jack, on paper,
your dog could
god
beat him.
My goddaughter's little daughter could take him on.
That's so true. Yeah.
The thing is, it's just incredible. I don't know who else. Gillibrand has also thrown her hat into the ring. I'm not real impressed with her either.
I'm not really sold on her. She did okay on TV the other night, but I don't think she's that strong a candidate.
I don't think she. Yeah, it's like where is your? You know, with Warren and Harris, you can see their backbone. They're right there.
Oh, they're right on top of it.
With Gillibrand, she's sort of a dodgy kind of a bob and weave kind of candidate. Plus the fact I don't agree with what she did to Franken.
To Franken, yeah, Al Franken, yeah. That's too bad. Well, she raised her sword and lashed out at Franken, and he was vulnerable at the time, but I didn't like it even when it was going down. He was doing a fine job as a senator. He wasn't a leader of the party by any stretch, but he was doing a fine job, and he was a reliable liberal voice, and he poked the hell out of Bush. And Trump too. So, but we'll see. You just never know. At this point in time, there's so many people out there. It's hard to predict. We just don't know what we're going to end up with. One thing's for sure: we got to get up. Anybody who can beat Trump has got to be into the White House, because this guy is absolutely the worst of all time.
I still say you could run Daffy Duck and win. Really do. I really do. You know, the California governor is defying Trump, and he's offering the TSA workers unemployment benefits amid all this shutdown. I would like to say this as just one of those public service things we do now and then. If you're traveling right now, be kind to your TSA people. I know they bug the crap out of me, too. I hate going through it. But here's the thing. They're doing a job to help keep the country safe. And if you
and they're not getting paid.
Yeah. And the same with FBI agents. If you see them with their jackets on somewhere, give them a thank you, because they're going through not only that, but our shallow water sailors, the Coast Guard. Do you know how many lives the Coast Guard saves?
Incredible.
They patrol our waters down here pretty finely, and they've brought so many people home. Mm-hmm. And as a skipper, I know that if it weren't for the Coast Guard being so close here in the Caribbean, there would be so much more tragedy at sea. We have to let these people know, especially if you see them in public, that, thank you for your service,
Without a doubt. Yeah, people are getting hosed left and right, 800,000 people to be exact, and they're being forced to return to work, some of them. Trump made them return to work, some of them, without pay. You know, this is bullshit. This is unprecedented. We cannot have any more of this nonsense.
This is worse than what Reagan did to the air traffic controllers.
Oh, without a doubt, way worse.
Oh, and the air traffic controllers are in there, too. Once, if there is one catastrophe of planes, that's all it's going to take. One catastrophe.
That's it, yeah.
And there will be blood all over Trump. Blood will
be all over Trump.
And just have to pray that these guys make it to work, that these men and women, these traffic controllers, stay on
well,
on
their
the job
is incredibly stressful to begin with. They don't need this added bullshit in the background of not getting paid and worrying about paying their mortgages and their loan payments and their car payments and paying for their school for their kids. This is a crime. It's a crime against humanity what Trump's doing. And he ought to be tried as such.
Not only that, but it is stunning to find out, as the news has found out, going around and talking to people, that these guys are living, a lot of these families are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have had to already pull out and cash in 401s for other things that have come up. They're down
to
it.
And a tax penalty, of course.
What's happening here is you've got people sleeping in their cars because they don't have the money for gas to go back and forth from home. You got people who are unable to make it to work because they have to make choices for their family's health or whatever. You've got people who are going to start losing their vehicles, start losing their homes, and not a word out of that friggin' bastard in the Oval to say to the banks, to say to the car dealers, to say to these credit agencies, you have to be good with them because we've got a shutdown going on. It isn't their fault.
Yeah.
You know, not a word, not a friggin' word for any of the people that he has put.
You know, he's a criminal. Let's face it. The guy is a criminal. He's a war criminal. He's a crime against humanity person, and he should be tried, convicted, and removed from office at the earliest opportunity. This guy belongs in a jail cell.
Not only that, but now the SOB is trying to back us out of NATO?
Oh, yeah, well, that's what Putin wants.
That's what he's doing to Putin. He wants to destroy NATO.
Yeah, that's
the only,
right.
NATO's the only thing that's keeping Putin in check on that Eastern Bloc.
That's right.
And we're talking Poland. We're talking Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
We're talking all those.
Yep. And the reason they're part of NATO is because they've already felt Soviet oppression in the old days, and they don't want any part of it. They want protection from that, and I don't blame them at all.
Exactly.
Well, and there's one other group of people who aren't getting paid during this shutdown, and that's part of the Treasury. That's the Secret Service.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's terrible, too, yeah.
That's pretty awful for everyone but one.
Yeah.
Just one little circle there
of
people that they're responsible for. And you know what? Why don't they just stay home, boys, girls?
Yeah.
Just stay the hell home. Yep. I mean, really. Really, he said there's no problem with security because Nancy Pelosi quite rightly pointed out you have every dignitary in this country from the Supreme Court to the Joint Chiefs to the Houses of Congress to the presidency and the cabinet members in one building without the kind of security because of the shutdown. Fuck you. You can't have your goddamn platform for lies and propaganda.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's right. She's absolutely right. And
she's going to save this country.
Yes.
You know what her daughter said? Did anybody hear about that quote? one of those CNN idiots asking, you know, well, your mom, she's a filmmaker, a documentary maker, Nancy Pelosi's daughter. She's damn mm-hmm. good at it. They asked her, you know, what do you think your mother's gonna do, blah, blah, blah. She said, listen, my mother would cut your head off before you know you're bleeding.
Yeah, I know. She's very skilled and very knowledgeable.
A Baltimore girl. She is from Baltimore. They will do it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, anybody can outclass Trump, let's face it. But he is so outclassed. And I don't mean this in a way that's obvious, which is true also, but I mean in politics and in how he runs.
Yep.
This lady knows what she's doing. The other part about that, though, is that so does Mitch McConnell. He knows how it runs. I don't understand why he's doing this, Jack. I don't get it.
Well, he's hoping against hope that his Republicans will actually prevail, and he doesn't want to create any waves that could cost him an election. The guy's being overly cautious, and he's overly political, and he's overly partisan, and I have nothing but absolute disrespect and contempt for Mitch McConnell, the constipated turtle.
But Jack, he can't walk around he can't walk around Kentucky outside, you know, in his little hamlet there. He can't even walk around. People are accosting him and his wife on the street.
Right.
This has been going on for months. I mean, he's got to know what is going on here that I don't understand. There's something.
Well, I guess the illusion of power is what's keeping him in place, and it's a real shame because the guy ought to wake up and get the hell out. He ought to be ashamed of himself and be flogged somewhere publicly. He deserves it.
It's just
I want his medical insurance removed when he's voted out of office.
Right.
Jeez. I mean, I just don't get it. I do not get it. Not one bit. I do not get it. Somebody ought to go and interview, what's his name? The old speaker, Boehner?
Yeah,
Boehner, I bet Boehner knows exactly what's going on.
That could be. He might, yeah. I'm sure he's very gladly retired now, and he's just sipping his mint juleps or whatever he wants to imbibe upon.
He's in the marijuana growing business now. He's growing marijuana for sale now.
Oh, is that what he's doing? Yeah, well, that's opportunistic guy, isn't he?
That's his gig.
Yeah, marijuana farmer.
Dumping money
in his degree in political science, and he interned in Boehner's office. And this is when they told the teabaggers, says, get in there and vote for this damn bill and quit being obstructionist. That was it, right? That was the time that my son-in-law's youngest brother was working for Boehner and had worked on that they were trying to get passed.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've got a little family. Look, like I said, in D.C., I have connections that most people don't even have a clue of, and I know shit that people, you know, Fox News is lying to you.
Oh, yeah.
And CNN report it all.
Yeah.
You know, or NBC or CBS.
Yeah.
I know shit that goes on that you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, the whole thing with BuzzFeed this last weekend. The Mueller investigative team has basically denounced what BuzzFeed said. they dispute the report that Trump directed Cohen to lie. It's not that they're saying he didn't. It's they're saying that, you know, it's the characterization of documents and testimony obtained by the office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. That's the statement they made.
Well, you know, Bob Mueller does have a penchant for accuracy, and he has a solid track record. He's not going as fast as I would like either, but what he has achieved so far has been far beyond what we've expected, what we thought and what we received from earlier types of investigations. He's been fabulous.
Yeah.
Well,
not perfect, but fabulous.
I don't think he's doing a good job.
He says Mueller knows everything.
Right.
Mueller knew everything even before Cohen went in and started spilling the beans.
And he knew apparently everything that Manafort was saying was a lie, and he let him go in and lie. And
I think we just have to be patient and encourage him, as the press is starting to do, but we've got to encourage him to eventually come forth with all the relevant data and issue his report and shed some light on a lot of these dark areas.
Yeah, the thing is, Jack, at the cost of what? At the cost of what?
Well,
what
are we losing? You know, every day Trump goes by, he makes a bigger ass out of himself. He's losing credibility by the minute. And I don't think we're losing anything. I think it's better to have a complete and accurate accounting than it is to rush something out just to have it out.
I agree. I agree with you that we need a complete and accurate accounting. And I don't disbelieve that Mueller's doing his job right. I'm just saying time is on the table and every day something new happens. And I'm talking about our institutions and how far they've slid into the quagmire of corruption. Take a look at all the institutions around us, the EPA, the oil industry. I mean, Jack, you know.
Well, that's
what happens
when you appoint industry heads to fill those positions. You know, we're going to have a breath of fresh air, Gwen. It's going to happen. And it isn't going to happen in one big swoop, but it's going to happen. And it'll be a wonderful, refreshing breath of fresh air because it'll clean out a lot of that bullshit that is sitting in there and making it decay right now.
Yeah.
It'll be rejuvenated.
They're talking. Do you know that he actually, that Trump actually talked about on microphone about disbanding the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Did you know that?
Well, he hates the FBI because they're a threat to him. That's the whole thing with him.
Yes, but this is what the son of a bitch is talking about doing.
Well, he can't do it, though. He can't do that on his own. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And he would run into opposition like you wouldn't believe across the board.
From who? Mitch McConnell?
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah, not from Mitch. That's for damn sure. He'd run into all kinds of opposition.
It takes two houses. It takes the
Congress.
And
we're going to gain control of that other house, and then you're going to see some big changes.
Well, by the time we gain control of the other house, he'll be gone anyways. I really don't think he could get elected.
Anyway, Jack, it takes the House to impeach. It takes the Senate to remove.
Right.
Mitch McConnell is going to remove Trump within these next 2 years.
Yeah, no, right.
And
that's why after that point, when the Republicans have lost control and he's no longer the Speaker and he's a little shit can ambling down the street of Bowling Green or something, you know, who cares? He'll be out of the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're at the end of the show, guys. I didn't even see that coming up. I'm sorry. Jack,
wow.
Do you want to tell people where they can find Jesus. Sorry about that.
Good job.
Yeah, it was. Well, all I can do is urge everybody to keep pushing forward, look ahead, and keep pushing forward. We cannot go backwards. We can't slide any more than we've already slidden.
That's right, Jack.
We've slid in the big time.
Yep.
Mm. Well, look, folks, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to speaking with you next week, and I'm sure we're going to have a whole new batch of material to talk about next Sunday this time.
Without a doubt.
And it's bizarre coming out of the White House.
Yeah.
Good night, all.
Yep. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Gwen. And thank you, listeners, for being out there. And please return next week. There's never a dull moment on this show.
At least we haven't been shut down for cussing yet. Oh, God. This has been the Sunday show, Progressive Roundtable, with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Holden Berry. And we will be with you next week at 6 p.m. Sunday for the Sunday show. This is Here Be Monsters Radio. Thank you for listening.